Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is Baruch Hashem, the very last Daf in Masechta Beitza, a beautiful Masechta, Masechta Yontif. And we're dedicating today's Daf to a longtime listener's daughter, Elliot Platt's daughter, Daniela Rina Bas Miriam Reisel. So undergoing a procedure today, Mitzvah Hashem should be for a Refuah Shleima. Kol Klal Yisrael, those in need of Refuah Shleima should have one. So we begin on the very bottom of Lamed Tes Amid Beis. We read this Mishnah yesterday, but it's kedai for us to read it again. And the Mishnah begins. If a person had his fruits in another city that was outside the tchum of where his city is, so again, you have city A, you have city B, they're within 4,000 amos of each other, so you could make an Erev Tchum to get from city A to city B, but if you didn't make an Erev Tchumim, so you would not be able to reach from city A to city B. And person Reuven, who lives in city A, has his fruits in city B. Misha Yupeiroso Beir Acheres, V'arvu B'nei Oso Ha'ir, and the people in that other city did make an Erev, and those people, Lohavi Etzlo, or the Giras of the Bach is Lovu Etzlo, would be able to, halachically speaking, be able to go from city B to city A, and theoretically they could carry with them, it's not a problem, it's Yontif, they could carry with them the fruits of Reuven, who lives in city A, but his fruits are in city B, they could bring those fruits from city B to Reuven in city A. Lohavi Etzlo, Mipei Rosov. However, the Mishnah tells us, Lo Yovilo, they're not allowed to bring it to him because his fruits have his tchum, and he isn't able to get to that. The fact that they can bring it is irrelevant. The fruits go by the owner's tchum, and the Mishnah is telling us that even though they could halachically have no problems in bringing the fruits from city B to city A because of their tchum, but since those fruits have the tchum of Reuven in city A, they're not allowed to bring them. However, the Erev who? But if he, in fact, had also made an Erev, and he could reach those fruits, so then they would be allowed, no problem, to bring the fruits from city B to city A, because there is no halachic problem doing so. The fruits now have the tchum to be able to be brought from city B to city A. Similarly, we turn to Daf Mem, the last Daf in this beautiful Masechta. Misha Zimein Etzlo, Orchim. If somebody invited guests to his house for Yontif, a beautiful practice in Klal Yisrael, as we said yesterday, Hachnosis Orchim. And as Rashi points out, they're from the other city. They're again from city B, Meir Acheres. The Yavo Etzlo, Ayid Erev. But they make an Erev to come to eat at his house. So the people in city B have made an Erev to come to city A, but the food, which is owned by the person in city A, he never made an Erev, so that food has his Tchum, the city A Tchum. So Misha Zimen Etzlo Orchem, so Lo Yolichu Biyad the Manos, if they have leftovers afterwards, as Rashi says, La'achar Suda Manos Biyadim Levesim, they have a doggy bag, they're bringing back some dessert to their house, they're not allowed to do so, because those desserts, those food items, have the chum of city A, and they can't go to city B, even though the people have, because of their Erev, the right to go from city A to city B. However, Ella, Ibn Cain, Zochalahem, Monoseim, the Erev Yontif. If, however, the person in city A said, listen, I know they're going to be leftovers, I have plenty of cookies over here, I'm going to be mezaki to them. Rashi says you have to do this ayde acher, you have to have a full kinyan. So you have somebody else in the house pick up the box of cookies and say, the cookies that the uncle from city B is going to eat here on Yontif, he has the right to have them in his tchum before Yontif starts, before the Bein Hashmar. So their shvisa now is the tchum of city B. And therefore, since they made an Erev to be able to get to city A, their cookies have also that same Erev as they do. So the cookies can be both in city A and city B. As Rashi says, you do this by an acher, somebody else. Shemesar balabai zeli odom acher b'mishicha. He does a full kinyan, he hands them over to somebody else to make the kinyan on behalf of the person in city B. V'yamalo, zakei b'monos halol, l'ploni, l'ploni. Go and acquire on behalf of so-and-so in the other city, in city B, because of the principle, the zochel l'yodom shalom b'fonim, because you can acquire something for somebody in their benefit, even without their knowing about it, without their being present. And in this situation, when they make an Erev from city B to city A, they can now return the food that was in city A because it was within their tchum to city B. Again, the Gemara will discuss more of this. Let's start the Gemara now. Itmar, they send in the Beis Medrash. Hamafkid peros etzel chavero. If somebody goes and deposits fruits by his friend, in other words, Reuven goes and gives his fruits to Shimon. Now, if they have the same tchum, no question, gets off the ground. But they have different tchumim. So who, in fact, is considered to be the shvisa of these fruits under whose tchum? Is it under Reuven, who has one tchum, or is it under Shimon, the one who's being deposited the fruits in his possession in order to watch them? So, in this situation, does it go by Shimon's tchum, the one who's watching it, or does it go by the owner's tchum, Ruvein? So this is a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav amar kiragle mi shiv kidulo. Rav says it goes by the person whose the fruits have been put into his possession to watch, and he's the one now that gives the shvisa to the fruits. His personal tchum will be the tchum now of the fruits, not the owner. Where Shmuel says, no, it goes by the owner still. Shmuel Mar, Kiragli Hamavkid, the owner, the one who put the fruits into Shimon's possession, it still retains Ruvain, the one who put the fruits there is Tchum Shabbos. So Gemara says, let us say, Lema, that Rav Shmuel, the Ozul Tamay, Rav and Shmuel's opinion over here, Rav Kiragli Mishav Kidulo, Shmuel Kiragli Hamavkid, is dependent upon a machlokas that they have elsewhere. The Ozul Tamay, they went each in accord with their reasoning for the explanation of a Mishnah in Bava Kama. Bava Kama deals a lot with damages, and it says in that Mishnah, Ditnan, Ihichlis Birishos, if a person brought his animal into somebody else's garden with permission, as Rashi says, Shoro ukterosov uperosov l'chotz chaveru. Ruvein brought his ox or his food items or his fruits into Shimon, his friend's chotzer. So who is responsible for them? He brought them there with permission. Im hichnis perishos. So Ruvein said to Shimon, can I bring my ox into your garden? And Shimon said, yes. So now, who is responsible for that ox? So, bal hachotzer chayev benizokin. According to the first opinion that's brought down in that Mishnah, the owner of that yard, that garden that allowed the ox of Ruvain to be brought into there, is now responsible for any damage that Ruvain's ox did in that garden. He can't go say to Ruvain, hey, your ox damaged my garden, you owe me money. No, you took upon yourself responsibility to watch that ox, so therefore any damage that occurs is yours. And you can't hold Ruvain responsible. And if in fact something happens to the shore, you're responsible to pay Ruvain for it because you took responsibility for it. Now we'll see that this will go in accord with Rav. Rav will say this opinion in our Mishnah, Karagli Mishiv Kidulo, the person who he deposited the fruits by in our Mishnah, goes by his tchum, Shimon's tchum, in my case where Ruvain deposited fruits by Shimon, that goes in accord, we'll say in a moment, with this Mishnah in Bava Kama. Because here, the Tana Kama says, the Bala Chotz is Chayav, the person who has received the deposit, the person who is the shore is deposited with him, Kiragle Mishev Kidulo, like Rav had said, in our case here with the tchum, so Bala Chotz is Chayav. Whereas Rebbe holds in this Mishnah in Bava Kama, Rebbe Omer, no, Chayav, no, the owner of the ox is still chayiv. Just because Shimon said, yeah, you can bring your shor in here, but who says I'm watching it? You better watch your own shor. I'm letting you bring it in here, but you better go and watch him. And therefore, unless Shimon said specifically, I hereby will watch your shor, so then Ruvain is still chayiv. And therefore, Shmuel will say, L'tamayu, Shmuel will say, in our case, where the person is mafkid his peros to somebody else, Ruvain gives the peros to Shimon, so Shimon has never accepted responsibility for them. Ruvain is still responsible for them, just like Ruvain is still responsible for his ox. And therefore, Ruvain would be responsible for any damages the ox did, so too, therefore, Shmuel would say, Ruvain's tchum for the fruits would still be the tchum that we would go by. So Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Halachi Rech Chachamim, and on this Mishnah in Bava Kama, Rav Huna, who said it over the name of Rav, so this is Rav's din, said the Halach is like the Tana Kama, as we just proposed, that's how he holds. And Shmuel Amar Halach Karebi, and therefore, as we just said, that's how Shmuel would hold in our case over here. And that's why the Gemara says, Lema Rav Diyama Karepanon, U Shmuel Diyama Karebi, as I just outlined. So therefore, Rav, who says that the person who accepted the shor in his field and therefore took responsibility for it. In our case, we'll say that Shimon's the one that received the fruits, or Shimon's the one that received the ox, so he's responsible for it, so therefore he's responsible for any damages. And also, in the case of the fruit, let us say that Rav says he would be responsible for the fruits, therefore it's his tchum. Where Shmuel would say, no, Shimon never accepted such responsibility in the case of the ox or in the case of the fruits, and therefore, in the case of the ox, Ruvain would be responsible, and therefore, in the case of the fruits, Ruvain's tchum is still the one that goes into effect. So let us say this machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rebbe in the Mishnah and Bava Kama is exactly the same as the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. But each of them doesn't want to be locked into the position. They have to hold like one opinion. So Rav's going to say, no, I could even hold like Rebbe in the Mishnah, and Shmuel's going to say, no, I could even hold like the Tana Kama, the Chachamim. And that's what Gemara says. Amaloch Rav. Rav says, I know the Amri, I feel the Rebbe. No, don't lock me into only holding like the Chachamim. Clearly, Rav would say, my position is certainly consistent with the position of the Chachamim, but it's also consistent with the position of Rebbe. I know the Amri, I feel the Rebbe. Why is that? Because Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rebbe Yosem. Rebbe only said, in the case of the ox, that Shimon, who said, you can bring the ox into my garden, he never took responsibility for it. Ela bistoma, lo kibbel levdi tirusa. Who said he ever said to watch it? He said, Reuven asked him, can I put my ox in your garden to graze over there? He said, sure, no problem. But what does that imply? That Shimon had took responsibility for it. And therefore, in that case, Rebbe would hold that no, Reuven is still responsible. If the ox does any damages, Reuven should have watched it. However, Aval Hocha, in our case with the fruits over here, Mafki, Peris, also Chaveiro, Hakiba, Lelov Nitirusa, Reuven said to Shimon, can you please watch my fruits? So therefore, even Rebbe would hold in this situation that Shimon had accepted responsibility to watch the fruits. And therefore, the Halacha would be Karagle Mishif Kidulo, even according to Rebbe. That's how Rav would learn this. So Rav says, both of them hold like me. And Shmuel says the same thing. Ushmuel and I know, both of them hold like me. I know the Amri, I feel the Rabbanan. I certainly hold like Rebbe, as we explained, because the person never accepted upon himself responsibility. Shimon never accepted upon himself responsibility for the ox, so therefore it's Reuven's responsibility. So clearly, Shmuel holds like that, because he says Shmuel holds Karagli HaMavkid, the one who gave the fruits to Shimon. Reuven, he's still responsible in terms of the Tchum. So certainly, Shmuel says, I hold like Rebbe. But I could even hold like the Rabbanan. I know the Amri, I feel the Rabbanan. Because, why? Ad Kan, until now, Lo Kamei Rabban Hossam. The only reason that the Rabban said in the case of the ox, that Reuven said to Shimon, can you please let my animal go into your field? And therefore, Rebbe says, when Shmuel said yes, he's taking upon himself responsibility for this, Elo Denichel Elinish, Denekom Torei, Birishusei Debal Chotzer. The Rabban hold that Reuven, when he gives the ox to Shimon to go and be in his garden, he wants Shimon to watch the ox. He wants Shimon to take possession of the ox, and Shimon said, okay, I will. And therefore, di mazikle lo mechayev. And therefore, Reuven says, I'm washing my hands clean from this. You said my ox can go in your yard. You better watch my ox. It's beneficial to Reuven to have Shimon now watch his ox rather than him having to still watch his own ox. However, Avohocha, but in the case of Reuven depositing the fruits, Hamavki Peres Hitzel Chaveiro, Reuven gives the fruits to Shimon. Avohocha, Mi Nichel Elinish, Deleikom Pere Birushusei Dechavre, why would Reuven want Shimon to become, quote, the owner of those fruits in terms of Tchum? Reuven, in the middle of Yant, is going to want to get those fruits back. He doesn't want them limited by the Tchum of Shimon. He wants them to still retain his own Tchum. He wants the fruits to still be halachically in his possession. There's no advantage to him to have the fruits in Shimon's possession. As opposed to the ox, there's an advantage to Reuven to have the ox be under Shimon's domain, so Shimon will watch it, and Reuven doesn't have to watch it. So, in the case of Baba Kama, so Shmuel would say, the Chachamim over there understand that Reuven wants Shimon to watch it, but in our case of the Peros, Reuven doesn't want Shimon to take it into his possession and lose the Tchum of Reuven and give over instead the Tchum to Shimon. So therefore, each of them, Rav says both of them hold like me, and Shmuel says both of them hold like me, so we can't say that Lema Rav Shmuel, the Ozul Tamayu, that Rav Shmuel is in accord with this Machlokis and Baba Kama. Okay, so we have our two opinions of Rav and Shmuel. Rav again says that the fruits go Kiragle Mishav Kidulo, they would go by Reuven giving it to Shimon. Shimon now Tum takes effect, and Shmuel says no, it still retains the Tum of Reuven. So Gemara is going to question Rav from our Mishnah. Because we said tonight, we learned in our Mishnah, Vim Erev Hu Perosav Kamohu. If in fact Reuven had made an Erev in City B, so then the people from City B, who also made an Erev to City A, would be able to go bring Reuven's fruits there. Now, Reuven had given the fruits to the people in City B to watch for him. And as long as this Mishnah says that Reuven also made an Erev, so then his fruits are still within his Erev. But that's a kasha on Rav, V'yamris Karagli Mishav Kidu and Slo. If you're telling me that when Reuven is mafkid his perots to Shimon, it no longer has Reuven's tchum, it now has Shimon's tchum, so what benefit does it do? Ki erifu my havi. The fact that Reuven made an erif to get to City B, how does that help us at all? Because it's in City B's possession. It would only be allowed to be brought back if the City B people made an erif to City A. So how does our Mishnah tell us in erif, if he made an erif, it would help? It doesn't help because it's not in his possession. It's not his tum. So Reuven making an erev not is irrelevant. Yet our Mishnah said it's relevant. Kashon Rav. So I'm Rafuna. Rafuna answered for his rabbi. And he said, we learned in the Beis Medrash of Rav, Ame Be Rav. In the Beis Medrash of Rav, this answer was given. Kigon Sheyichid Lo Keren Zovis. When Reuven deposited these fruits by Shimon, it wasn't a full shmira, so to say, that Shimon had taken upon himself. Shimon had said, sure, put him over there in that corner. In other words, I'm not taking them into my responsibility. That's the place where I'm letting you keep them there, but they're still under your responsibility. And therefore, they still belong, even though Reuven deposited them with Shimon, it wasn't a full regular shmira that Shimon undertook, and therefore they're not really considered in Shimon's possession or under his tum, but they retain still the status of being Reuven's and being in Reuven's tum. And that's why in the Mishnah it said, if he made an Erev, if Reuven made an Erev, then you can bring the fruits from City B back to him in City A. So therefore, no kashan rav. Try again, toshma. Our Mishnah again said, if you invited guests over, so lo yolichu be other manos, they can't take home the doggy bag if they have a different tum, unless LMK Zikolem Monoseim, Mayor of Yontif, unless you made an official kinyan on those desserts or whatever it is that he's taking back home, that they now belong to the guest before Yontif started. Now again, whose possession are these desserts in? It's as if they are given from the guest to the owner. It's as if Shimon, the guest, deposited them with Reuven because they're in Reuven's possession at the start of Yontif. So how does it work that even though he made a kinyan for them, these are fruits that are deposited, these are desserts that are deposited by Reuven. So even though they belong through this kinyan to Shimon from the other city, it doesn't do any good. If you're telling me like Rav, the one who's in possession of it, it goes by his tum. So Reuven is still in possession of these cookies. So therefore, kizikol lehem ayde acher, how does it help us? My havi. So again, the kashas and rab, if you're telling me the one who's in possession of it is, again, the critical factor in determining the tum, so even though he was mezakit to the guests, but it's still in his possession. So therefore, according to rab, it shouldn't help you that you were mezakit to them. They still can't take it there because it goes by Reuven's tum. So Gemara says, no problem. Rav would say, Hochanami, kiven shezikolem ayde acher, kimi sheyichelo keren zov dummy. This act of zikui is exactly the same case as the previous one where Rav Huna had said over in the name of the Beis Medrash of Rav, kigon sheyichelo keren zov. When you designate, you can put it over here in a specific place, that's not taking upon yourself shmira. So in that case, we had just said, Reuven never really gave it as a deposit to Shimon, that Shimon's responsible for it. So too, when you're mezakit for a person, it's like you're designating it over here in a Keren Zovis. And therefore, it never really still retains the possession, ownership, the cookies of Reuven, but they belong really to the guest. And therefore, if you did the Zikoy, so it's as if still the guest owns it, even though it's in still Reuven's possession. Alternatively, you could say, Biboy Seima, Zikoy Shana, that the act of acquiring it from somebody else makes a different din. As Rashi says, Zika is shiny, Zika is different. Shari kol atzmo lo also ela lo tzio mishvisa. So the whole purpose of the Zika was to remove it from Reuven's status and lahamido bishvisa shalahan, and to put it into the shvisa of the guests, uberushusan, and in their possession. So therefore, zikui is a totally different din than the regular normal din of a mafke peris etzu chaveru. So again, Rav says no problem. So the Gemara continues and says, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi tolo bisra bi'avra didasha. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi was in city A, but he lived in city B, and he was going, as Rashi says, back on Yomtif from city A to city B. He made an Erev Tchum so he could go. But he had bought some meat in city A on Erev Yomtif, and he wanted to bring it back to his house and eat it on Yomtif in city B. So he has a Tchum, no problem. So if this meat is his possession, there's absolutely no problem. And of course, he can bring it back from city A to city B. Just like he can go, so too his possessions can go. But it's not so simple. In this case, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, tolo bisra, he hung the meat, bi'avra didasha. Avra didasha is like a deadbolt on a door. So they would close the doors, not only with keys, they put a deadbolt up there. So the meat was hung on this deadbolt. And now Rav Chana bar Chaniloi went to ask a shayla, also l'kamei de Rav Huna, to ask him, am I allowed to bring this meat from this guest house, this Ushpazichei, Rashi says, that I'm staying at, to my home city B? I have an Erev Tchumin for myself, but is the meat considered to have been in my possession at the start of Yontif, and I was therefore Kona the Shvisa within my Tchum, or does it belong to the Ushpazichei in his possession? According to Rav, whoever is deposited by Rav Huna Mestama is going like Rav. Rav was his Rebbe, and therefore the din would be like Rav, that whoever you deposited by kiragle ham mishim hifkid etzlo. So therefore, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi asked Rav Huna what the halacha is. Can I take the meat back? So Rav Chana told him as follows: Amalei, E at tolis, if you were the one that hung the meat, in other words, it was still in your possession, so to say, you hung it up in your guest house that you were staying at, but you hung it up, so then it never left your possession, zil shkil. Then it has your trum, and since you can go from city A to city B, so too your meat can go from city A to city B. However, the inhu toluloch, if the ushbezichai, if the owner of this hostel that you were staying at, if he was the one that hung up the meat for you, so then it's in his possession, like Rav says, and therefore it follows his tchum, and he didn't make an Erev Tchumim to go from city A to city B, and therefore the meat can't go with you from city A to city B. Lo tishko, you can't take it. Now the Gemara questions this. V'ihu tola mishakil. Now, why did you, Rav Huna, say that if this person, Rav Chana bar Chinoi, himself hung the meat up on the door, he would be allowed to take it because it stays in his possession, but the house doesn't belong to him? V'ha Rav Huna, Talmud Rav Haba. Rav Huna, who's a famous Talmud of Rav, a star pupil of Rav, should have held like Rav. But Amar Rav, and we just said, Karagli Mishif Kidu Etzlo. In the case of the fruit, when Ruvi gives the fruits to Shimon, it acquires, according to Rav, Shimon's Tchum. So when Rav Chana bar Chaniloi hung the meat up on the deadbolt of the door and the deadbolt belonged to the owner of the house, the Ushbezichne, the one who he was staying by. So even though he hung the meat up, but he put it into the possession of the other person. So it should go by the Ushbezichne's trum, which is not able to go from city A to city B. So Kasha, how could Rav Huna not pass like his Rebbe, like Rav? V'amar Rav, k'rag d'mishif kido etzlo. So what was Rav Huna telling Rav Chana bar Chaniloi? That if you hung it up, it's okay. It shouldn't be okay. So the Gemara answers, no, everything is fine. Shainei avra d'dasha, this deadbolt is different, because d'kmi sheyichid lo keren zoviz dami. He didn't put it any place. He didn't put it in a refrigerator. He didn't put it in a closet. He put it bedavka on the deadbolt. And this deadbolt is considered like it's a Karen Zobis. And therefore, it's exactly like the two answers that Rav had previously given, that it's not considered in the possession of Shimon if it's only given in a Karen Zobis. It still retains the Tum, or the status of ownership, of the other person. So here, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, he was given only a Karen Zobis. Therefore, it doesn't go into the Ushbezichne's possession, but it retains the status of being in Rav Chana bar Chaniloi's shvisa, in his trum, in his possession. Now, we're going to have several additional questions on this understanding of the psak of Rav Huna to Rav Chana bar Chaniloi. So we'll have three questions on this. So Amalei Rav Hillel or Rav Ashi. Rav Hillel said to Rav Ashi, I don't understand. The inhu talule lo shakil, if in fact the owner, the Ushbezichne, was the one that had hung up the meat, then Rav Huna had said he wouldn't be allowed to bring it. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi would not be allowed to bring the meat from city A to city B because it's considered by the trum of the Ushbezichne, and in that situation, he didn't make a trum, an Erev trum, to go from city A to city B, so the meat can't go. But how come? Vamar Shmuel, Shmuel had taught us, Shor Shol Patam, if you have an ox of somebody who fattens up the oxes, in other words, this person sells oxen. So we had said previously in the Gemara, this was found on Lamed Chesam and Aleph, that in that situation, the person at the start of Yontif doesn't know who's going to buy this ox, but Harehu Karagli Koladam, whoever buys this ox from him, since that's his business of selling oxen on Yontif to people for food for Yontif, so therefore it doesn't retain the Pitain's Trum, but it will automatically have the Trum of whoever purchases it. So to over here, even though Rav Chana bar Chaniloi gave it over to the Ushbezichne to hang it up for him, so Rav Huna had said, if the Ushbezichne had hung it up, you can't go, Rav Huna said, and bring it from this Ushbezichne's house in city A to city B, because the Ushbezichne is within his ownership. That doesn't make any sense. This should be like the case of the Shor Shel Patam. So the Ushbezichne hung it up, but he knew you're going to take it back, so he never acquired it in his possession, just like the Pitim doesn't acquire it in his Shvisa. Similarly, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, the same exact question. Ravina says to Ravashi, the similar problem. The inu talule lo shaku, you said, Rav Huna, that if the Ushbezichne had in fact hung it up, then you would not be allowed Rav Chana bar Chaniloi to bring it back. Why not? V'amar Rabba bar bar Chana Rav Yochanan. We have another statement that Rabba bar bar Chana made in the Rav Yochanan, that the halach is Rabbi Dosa, that we had also said previously on the Gemara in Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and you read this in Rashi over here, Da'amar, it said over there, Harehu Kiragli Aroa. We said there in the case of the shepherd, who doesn't sell to as many people as the Pitim, he sells only to the people in his own city, And we said, Alma, kiven de ein roe ba'ir, since there is only one shepherd in the city, and therefore we can assume that the person gave it over to that shepherd, banan sade, the kol mi sheish lo behema, anybody in that city who has an animal, daito shetei kiraglo, he's giving it over to the shepherd. So even though he didn't actually give it over to the shepherd till yontiv morning, we can say that it has the tchum of the shepherd. And therefore we said, aminam basvei, Asla, you go after that shepherd, and certainly in our case over here, the ukma behedya birshuse, you're certainly giving it over here to Rav Chana bar Chani Loi, vadaiti didei talulei. The ushbezichne is only hanging it up for Rav Chana bar Chani Loi. So therefore, Ravina says to Rav Ashi, even though the ushbezichne was the one that hung it up, why did Rav Huna say that he can't go bring it back, the meat, Rav Chana bar Chani Loi? Why couldn't he bring the meat back from the ushbezichne's house in City A to City B? Because Rav Chana bar Chani Loi made a Erev Tchumen. And furthermore, these two questions, Rav Hillel asked Rav Ashi, Ravina asked Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi himself said, I have a problem with this. Amar Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, I don't understand. Rav Huna's second psak. The inhu talulei lo shakel. He said, if the Yushbezichle was the one that in fact had hung it up, then Rav Chana bar Chanoi can't bring it back. It doesn't make any sense. Well, it's not. We learned in the Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah is also on Lamed Zayin, but Lamed Zayin on Aleph. We learned it previously. For Tnan, habehema v'hakelim kiragli abalim. That we always say that the animals or the utensils of a person, his kelim or his behemos, they follow his ownership, his tum. So why wouldn't this meat, which is in the possession of Rav Chana bar Chani Loi, not follow Rav Chana bar Chani Loi? So for all of these reasons, the Gemara has to revise now its understanding of this psak that Rav Huna gave to Rav Chana bar Chani Loi. Ella, the Gemara says, Shiny Rav Chana bar Chani Loi. Rav Chana bar Chani Loi, this was a unique psak for him because he was the Gavur Rabbahu. He was a great Talmud Chacham, he was a great individual. The Torid Bishmaisei. He wasn't concentrating on this piece of meat. He was concentrating on his learning. And therefore, there is a separate problem over here called Basar Hanis'alim Min Ha'ayin. Nobody was watching this meat. And here is the understanding. This is what Rav Huna paskin for Rav Chana bar Chani Loi. E at tolis, if you in fact were the one and hung up this meat, so that means you can recognize Islacho Simona Begavei. Lav Davka, the Mefarshim explained that there actually was a simon that he made and he didn't make a mark into it necessarily, but it's what's called Tvias Ayin. He could say, yeah, this is the meat that I hung up. I can't tell you exactly why, but I know this is the meat that I hung up. It doesn't have a definitive simon, but a Talmud Chacham is believed to say that, yeah, this is mine. So therefore, Islach Simona Begavei, since if you hung it up, you will be able to recognize, yeah, this is the meat that I hung up. There's no Hesach Hadas. It's not Basar Ayin. That's why you're allowed to go bring it. Nothing to do with Tchum. It's yours. It has your Tchum. Of course you can bring it from City A to City B with your Tchum. However, the question here was Basar Nisalim in Ayin. Was this meat that wasn't under watch? And meat that's not under watch, unfortunately you have to be concerned that somebody switched it and therefore it's not kosher meat anymore. And therefore, if you hung it up I'at tolis, so then it's not Basar Nisalim in Ayin. Zil Shakel, you're allowed to go and take it with you. That's what Rav Huna told Rav Chana bar Chani Loi. However, if the owner, the Ushbezichne of this house, he was the one that hung it up, so then you weren't watching it because you're busy with your learning. And he's not watching it because he's not watching it. He just hung it up and left. And therefore, Masachta Daitoch, this Hesach Hadas over here, it's Basar Hanisalim in Ayin, the Lo Tishkol. Not that you can't take it, you can't eat this anymore. Even if you weren't going to City B, you can't go and eat this meat. It's Basar Hanisalim in Ayin. That's Rashi's seemingly preferred explanation. He brings a Loshon Acher, another reason that this is because of Muktzah. The item now has become Muktzah, but we'll just understand that there's a simple understanding of Basar Hanisalim min Ayin. And now we go to the very last Mishnah in this beautiful Masechta, and the Mishnah begins, Ein mashkin v'shochetin asamid barios. A person is not allowed to go in water. The Gemara will explain what watering has to do with this. Of course, you're allowed to feed your animals, and this doesn't make a difference whether your animals are domesticated animals or more wild animals. If you're responsible for their food, of course you could feed them. So what is the Mishnah telling us over here? Ein mashkin. You're not allowed to go and water your animals. So we'll explain this in a moment, and we'll get to the Gemara. But the Mishnah right now tells us, Ein mashkin v'shochetin asamid barios. You can't go in water or shecht your animals that are not domesticated. They're midborios. They don't dwell at home. We'll define this more in the Gemara as well. They're more free-range animals. And therefore, they are not allowed to be shechted because they're considered muktzah. They're not in your expectation that you use them because they're nowhere near your house, nowhere near your farm. They're out in the fields way far away. That's the bidbarios, the ones that are in the, quote, midbar, the farms that are far away. They're not domesticated. Avu ma'ashkin v'shochte, but you're allowed to go and give drink and go and shecht, es habayosos, the ones that are in the bayis, the ones that are nearby, and we'll define exactly what this means right now in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us, Elohim bayosos, what are the ones that are the, quote, domesticated household animals? Halonos bir, they're the ones that sleep in the town. In other words, they sleep in the city overnight. They're not that far away. They're not that far free-ranging. And the definition of the Midbarios, according to our Mishnah, is Halonos Ba'afar. They're the ones that live out in the swamp, out in the fields, in the distant fields. So therefore, they are not considered Mukhan, and this is a din of Muktza. You can't go and shecht Muktza animals that are outside your Hachana. So that would be the Midbarios. But the Bayosos, which are domesticated, they're near to you. So therefore, those you could shecht. Now, where he asks, what does the watering have to do? You're allowed to feed your animals whether you can shecht them or not. So even though you have a chicken that's for laying eggs, so it's definitely not muchan, it's muktzah, but you're allowed to feed it. So, loma le lemeimar, mashkin v'shochtin. Why is the Mishnah telling us over here that you're allowed to go and water these animals and shecht them? The shechting part, that's critical. That's the muchan or not muchan. But what does the watering have to do with anything? So the Gemara answers, Milsa agav urche kamashvulan. This is a very common style that the Gemara has. It tells me one din via another din. So you had to tell me the shochtin din. Why are you telling me shochtin din? It tells me a din in shchita, so to say, a good advice in regards to shchita. And that is, the lashke inish behemt, if you want to be able to flay the animal very easily, go and make sure it's well hydrated. Go and give it water to drink before you shecht it. And then, after you've given it water to drink, v'hadar lishchot. And then go and shecht it, mishum sircha demashcha. Because this will prevent the hide from becoming very closely attached to the animal, and you'll be able to flay the animal very, very easily. When the person becomes dehydrated, his skin tense. In other words, if you pull up on the skin, it doesn't easily, quickly go back. There's less elasticity, doesn't quickly go back. If you pull up on your skin right now on your arm, you'll see it immediately goes back. But a person who's dehydrated, the skin doesn't go back so quickly. So too, when you want to go and shecht an animal and then flay the hide, so therefore you want to flay the skin off the animal after you shecht it. So the Mishnah is giving us good advice. Go and water the animal before you shecht it. But it has nothing to do with the fact of watering the animal on Yom Tov. You're allowed to water and give food to any animals that are dependent upon you for their food on Yom Tov, whether you can shecht them or not. Tana Rabban, and the Gemara continues with the following braisa. It expands a little bit upon our Mishnah, the definition of the bayosos versus the midbarios. So the braisa here will have an additional opinion. Tana Rabban, elohim midbarios. Veilhein bayosos. The braisa tells us the definition of midbarios according to the Tanakama and the definition of bayosos according to the Tanakama. Midbarios, the animals that are the free-range animals, kosher yotzos bePesach, during the Pesach spring months, the animals go far away. Veros baAfar, they go far away and they graze all the way out in the fields. I'm not sure why Afar over here is spelled with an ayin and Afar in the Mishnah was spelled with an aleph. Okay, Akasha. So they go and range out in the fields. V'nichnosos b'revir rishonim, but they come back around the time of year right now that we are, and we're starting Cheshvan this week, and Yitz Hashem is Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan on this coming Wednesday and Thursday. I'm dictating this a little bit ahead, obviously, of the people in the pure Daf Yomi cycle, so make it a little bit easier for people that are going away or people for Shabbos. They want to be able to do the Daf a little bit beforehand, so I always try to be a couple of days ahead. So in any event, they're animals that are out, they're called midbarios, they're out most of the spring and summer season. They only come back at the start of the rainy season, which begins in Cheshvan. Berevia Rishona is the first rains that occur usually during the month of Cheshvan. We'll see, Mirtz Hashem, the three different opinions as to when those rains occur. We're coming up to the Masechtas that we'll be discussing this. In any event, V'nichnasas Berevia Rishona, they come back in the Revia Rishona. So these are called midbarios. And what are the bayosos according to this Tanakhama, the Chachamim of this Baisa? Vilhim bayosos, koshiotsos, rose, chutzulchom. They go out and pasture outside the chum of the person. However, every night they come back, ubos, lanos, besol chatchum. But they come back and sleep at night all the time within the chum. That's the definition according to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim of what midbarios and bayosos are. Rabbi disagrees. Rabbi Omer, Eilu ve'elu bayosos, saying, even the ones that you said were the midbarios that go out by Pesach time, v'roz ba'afar, and then come back, v'nichnos as v'yor rishona, you, Tanakama, call them midbarios, I call those also bayosos, because they do come back. So that's not called midbarios, that's called bayosos, and they're muchanos, they're not muktzah. What are the definition of the Midbarios. Ela Elohe Midbarios. These are the Midbarios according to Rebbe. Kol Sheyotzos Viroz Ba'afar. Here again, he spells it with an olive. Those who go out and pasture all the way out in the fields, but the Einich Nosos Leishov Lobi Mos Hachama V'Lobi Mos Hachisham. They never come back. They're always free ranging. They're always far away. They don't come back to a corral. They're not penned in. And therefore, those are the real true Midbarios. Now, Gemara questions Rebbe. Rebbe was a Talmud of Rebbe Shimon, and he holds like Rebbe Shimon. Umi Yisleila Rebbe Muktza. This Mishnah is telling us the Midbarios aren't Muchan. They're considered Muktza, and that's why you can't shech them. But Rebbe doesn't hold from the concept of Muktza. He holds like his Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon. Boah, boy, minei Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe mi Rebbe. Rebbe named his son Rebbe Shimon. And this son, Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, asked his father, mi Rebbe, what about the din, patzile tomorrow? Rashi understands patzile tomorrow as being certain types of dates that will never ripen on the tree. And you basically have to put them into a date wicker basket for them to ripen. Tosus doesn't like this pshat. Tosus says these are certain types of dates that become very, very, very sweet. But you have to take them off the tree and allow them to dry before they become very, very sweet. So they remain edible, they're good, but they're not a perfectly sweet masukin yofa yofa until they've been dried out. So therefore, that's what it's talking about over here, these patzile tamara. He says, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe asks his father, patzile tamara li Rabbi Shimon mahu, to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, what is the halachic status? Are they muktza or are they not muktza? So his father, Rebbe, answered his son, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, Amalei, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is Ein Muktza Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from the concept of Muktza, with the exception of Ela, and we turn to Mem Omud Beis, the very last dot in this beautiful Masechta. Ela, Grogros Vitzi Mukim Bilvad. As we've said many, many times, the Grogros are the drying figs. They're going from a state of being edible, moist figs to being dried out figs, and during this transition, they're inedible, both as moist figs and as dried figs. They're not yet edible. And smukim are the grapes that are going to become raisins. So there's an in-between period of time when they're totally inedible. In that, and only in that situation, does Rebbe Shimon hold from muktza, because they're totally removed, like grogers and smukim. So in these cases, the patzile tamarim, the simple understanding would be, is that they are not going to be muktza. Now, since Rebbe seems to be quoting Rebbe Shimon over here, that implies that Rebbe holds that there is no concept of muktza. So why are these Midbarios muktza according to Rebbe? That's the kasha. And we have three terutzim. So number one, Iba Yisema, teretz number one, Hani Nami, Kegros, Smukim, Domile. So these Midbarios are exactly the example of Grogros and Smukim. Even according to Rebbe Shimon, they would be muktza. And that's why Rebbe said that they're muktza, because they're far out of your mind. They're not edible right now, so to say, because they're 20 miles away. How are you going to get to them? So therefore, they're not muchan, they're like the Grogros and Smukim. And therefore, even Rebbe, who holds like Rebbe Shimon, would say that yes, Midbarios are like Grogros and Smukim and are in fact muktza. Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Vibayi Seima, no. That Rebbe was only giving the answer to his son, Ludvorov, the Rebbe Shimon Kamar. You asked me what the halacha is according to Rebbe Shimon. And I'm telling you over here that these patzile tamarim are according to Rebbe Shimon, not muktza. However, Rebbe himself, v'lei lo svirle. I'm not telling you my halachic opinion. You asked me, what does Rebbe Shimon hold? I told you Rebbe Shimon hold. But li lo svirle. I, in fact, don't hold like this. Teretz number two. Teretz number three, Ibai Seymour, that Rebbe was saying, Lidivrayim de Rabbanon Karmelhu. In our Mishnah, we're talking about the Midbarios. So Rebbe was saying, according to you, Chachamim, you should agree with my definition of what Midbarios are. And what you called Midbarios, that they are out there during Pesach time, out in the Afar, in Pesach time and through the summer, but they come back in Cheshvan time during the Revi'a Rishona. So you should agree with me that those are Bayosos, and therefore they're not Muktza. So why are you saying that they're Muktza? So Rebbe is telling the Chachamim, Lididi, I don't hold for muktza at all, ain't muktza, because I hold like Rebbe Shimon. So I don't hold that any Midbarios are ever muktza, because they're not like grogers and smukim. They're perfectly good animals, and therefore the default position of Rebbe Shimon, and I hold like Rebbe Shimon, is that there's no din of muktza by them. So Lididi ain't muktza. But Ela Liditru, according to you, hold like Rebbe Yehuda, that there is a concept of muktza. You Chachamim, Oduli, at least admit to me, Mias, in the following case, Hech the Yotzos arose with Pesach, Vinichnosis with Ririshona, those animals that go out far away at Pesach time and stay out during the summer and only come back in during the Revi'a Rishona and Cheshvan, the Bayos is saying, don't call those Midbarios, call those Bayosos. And therefore, they shouldn't be Muktza, even according to you who hold from Muktza. And to that, the Chachamim responded, Ramalei Rabbanan, no. Lo, midbarios hain. We consider those midbarios and not bayasos. With this, we conclude the beautiful Masechta of Beitza, Masechta Yontiv, Hadron Lech Mashil and Peros, Vesliklo Masechta Beitza, Hadron Lech Mashil and Peros, Vesliklo Masechta Beitza, Hadron Lech Mashil and Peros, Vesliklo Masechta Beitza. Yitz Hashem, I look forward very much tomorrow to starting Masechta Rosh Hashanah with you. Yitz Hashem, everyone should be healthy, and Yitz Hashem, we should all enjoy the next Masechta.